So we're always excited to hear him speak. He is a preacher. No doubt about that. And he's going to Philippines soon, so you're probably going to mention that, eh? All right.
Yeah. Just like the last time I preached, I would like to call my dad just to say something and to pray. My dad was a pastor in the Philippines for the Assemblies of God for several years. He's part of, he and his brothers actually, were the ones who first, went for that call back in the 1960s when the first American missionaries of the Assemblies of God came. And I just want to honor him and, whatever he wants to say.
Thank you very much. And I want to share you about encouragement, some Bible that we can read it in Isaiah 40:31. He that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar their wings like eagle. And Psalm 91, he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In this verse, we are encouraged that however, what is our situation in this world, we shall not be discouraged. Because our God is a God of strength that He will support us. In Philippines, we have what we call there is a tree that what we call legumes. This tree is a big tree, and all the small tree that grow under His shade, it will die because He is powerful. In Psalm 91, he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide in the shadow of Almighty. It is because of our safety. If we are under the shadow of Almighty God, we are safe in the hand of God. Amen. And God will support our strength, and we shall soar our wings like eagle. I have some story about that eagle and chicken, but thank you very much. Next time.
Thank you, Tatay. Yeah, I was telling my daughter a while ago, maybe you would like to see me preach, but Jarlene doesn't want. Not yet. Because I was telling her, I remember when I was your age, I was carrying your Lolo's Bible. Almost the same Bible as this. It was a Thompson Bible, one of the first editions back then. This is like fifth, I guess. And yeah, I always pride myself to be my dad's armor bearer. Can you imagine at age 6, you know the word armor bearer? Unfortunately, Jarlene is not here. Yes, so yeah, thank you, Vero, for such an introduction. Let's open our Bibles to 2 John, verse 8, please. Second John, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Okay, so what does it say? Look to yourselves. What does that mean? Okay, do not look to your neighbor. This message is for me, for you. Amen? So today, what we're going to talk about is honors reward. And I would say that this is something that I've immersed myself for the past 5 to 6 months. Studying about honor, becoming a person of honor, about honor. John Bevere's teaching, books, stuff on the internet, even the stuff on history about this. And we'll try to condense everything in 30 minutes. And eventually, there came a situation a few weeks ago that I have to apply things that I learned, things that I was immersing myself into, and came out a good testimony. And from there, we have a message. I always want that, when
when I'm sharing something, I'm not just sharing something theoretical or something I've just heard. Maybe it's something we've heard. Maybe we're just given, you know, a topic to share. Even the Lared things, you know. It's just like a topic already given to you. But the moment you get it and you apply your life's testimony to it, you know, you live it, you immerse yourself into those teachings, and then it becomes part of you, and then the word becomes alive more as you release it. So we're talking about reward here, okay? Who here believes that God is a rewarder? Do you believe God is a rewarder? Amen? Well, when he introduced himself to Abraham, he said, "I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Okay, we can see here there are three reward scenarios. Okay, we have the full reward, partial reward, and maybe if there's a full reward, there's also a no reward scenario. Okay, what are we talking about here? You see, according to 2 Timothy, verse 4:8, you know, godliness is profitable for everything. For stuff about the life that is now and the life that which is to come. For most Christians, well, I guess in the old religions and stuff, we focus on the life which is to come. That our reward is on the life which is to come. But Paul also said to Timothy, in his charge to Timothy, that there is a reward to the life that is now. You know, Jesus said in his word, "I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly or to the fullest." And I believe every Christian should have that opportunity to live life to that fullest. And the word of God is full of examples. The word of God is full of things for us to digest, to become part of us, so we can live lives not as victims, but as victors. You know? We live our lives as kingdom people and not paupers in the kingdom of our heavenly daddy. We live our lives not as orphans, but as sons in his father's home, at home in the presence of Almighty God. Let's pray. Daddy, we ask this morning, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Lord, we pray, anoint your word right now. Daddy, we pray, Lord, that you transform our minds, change our minds, O God. Lord, we pray that your word will add more faith. Your word, O God, will change mindsets and views, Lord. And you can cause a transformation within us. Thank you, Daddy. Lord, I ask for your teaching anointing today. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. Yeah, Daddy, that you increase and your servant decrease the more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So we're talking about rewards. Everyone wants a reward. Amen. Do you want a reward? Do you want a partial reward? Or do you want the full of it? Full. Okay, how many more full? Come on. Yes, the whole house wants a full reward. Okay, so when we talk about these things, it's good to check the Gospels, you know, how these things progress. How we get a full reward? Or how come there are people who don't get any reward? Or there's just a partial reward? If you can open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open it. Like, I know, you know, it contains the same thing. But when you read it, it becomes alive in you. And maybe you are undergoing a situation right now that's not the same as mine or your neighbor. But all of a sudden, it jumps. Then it becomes more alive. And the message becomes yours. Okay. So it says in John chapter 6, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. These verses and this teaching, one of the reasons why I wanted to immerse myself on it is because I've seen something, you know, as an immigrant in North America, something that I believe immigrants like us can now share to our adopted country. I remember when we first started hanging out with Alvin, that there was this book about how Asian Canadians can contribute to the Christianity of Canada, especially that the United Nations, they Christianized our nation back in the year 2000. And I believe this is part of it. Okay, why am I sharing this? I'm sharing this not just because of my own experience, but even experiences of my great-great-grandparents that sowed this kind of seeds that up to now, I believe me and my family are carrying. You see, my great-great-grandparents were one of the first evangelical Christians in the Philippines. People coming from this nation and the United States, part of the what you call the student volunteer movement back in the 1900s, whose goal, if you study church history and revival history, you'll know this, whose goal was the evangelization of the world in this generation. Well, it did not really happen, but God still honored their heart. I am part of the fruit of those student volunteer movement back then. I know, I've walked on the streets of Church Street and I've seen plaques after plaques of, you know, this doctor dropped his courses and everything in U of T, in King's College, so that he can go to somewhere, you know, Burma, somewhere in China, joining Hudson Taylor. You can see that even in Church Street. And I believe this is something that we as Asian Canadians can now share to the church in Canada, and maybe for me, to my home church. You see, when we go out, and we're going out again next month, we have what we call, or have you heard of this? The out-of-town anointing? Have you heard of the out-of-town anointing? Who has heard of that? Yeah. Yes. Especially if you go to Asia and Africa. That's why I also remembered what triggered me studying this was one comment to Reinhard Bonnke regarding someone from Switzerland said, "Reinhard, that is Africa. This is Switzerland." Well, Reinhard was very wise with the wisdom of God. He answered back, "Yeah, if God can save millions of people in Africa in one afternoon, wait till you wake up that all Switzerland is saved." You know? But still, there's that divide. And the out-of-town anointing, it's like crazy. You know, you go, the further you come from, the more people receive from you. Okay? Like, all the crazy miracles. Can you imagine, like, especially, this is just my observation, big name evangelists, you know, even the Benny Hinn's and T.L. Oswald and, you know, Oral Roberts. Yes, they're good in the home country, but most of their exploits and the things we read about them now are stuff coming from Africa or India. Okay? Why is that so? And this had me seeking this. Okay, then maybe you're asking now, why is this important to me? I'm not even going on a mission trip. You know? Well, this is important to each one of us. Because as we can see, we actually have a scenario here where people, you know, there's a city in Nazareth, okay, in Jesus' time. Jesus said, he was not given honor. Or honor was withheld from him. And then they only got a partial reward. Only a few headaches, maybe some bad backs, got healed. Nothing really spectacular. Why? It's not because he cannot do it. According to the word, if you read the word carefully, it will say, now he could do no mighty work there. In the Amplified, it's even like worse. It says like, he cannot. He is restricted. You know, he is restrained actually to do something. So it's not about the anointing at all. This is the guy who contains all the anointing during his time. And yet he could not do any mighty work except for a few sick people healed or a few bad backs and everything, you know. But then he travels to Capernaum. How many kilometers is Capernaum? Anyone from Israel? Around 45 kilometers. 20 miles, they said. Then all sorts of crazy miracles break out. Okay. Why is this important? It's important for us because, honestly, that's what I see mostly in North America. It's not a generalization. We've seen awesome miracles, especially we are in a church, you know, that is used to the supernatural. Okay? But still, it is our culture. That's why we say to people like Reinhard Bonnke, well, that is Africa and this is Canada. You know? So, Jesus actually marveled with their unbelief. Then he went about on other villages. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about rewards. Here is a city that Jesus first offered his services to them. Okay, what happened here? He read the scriptures. What was the scripture he read? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And everything. Then he said, now before you, this scripture is fulfilled. Maybe that's the shortest, most controversial sermon in history. You know? Then he sat down. He closed the book. Then what happened? They tried to throw him out and everything. So he cannot do anything. No mighty works. He was restrained in spite of the great power within him. What is honor? We're talking about honor. If you read on other verses about this, it also talks about how during the time of Elijah, he was only sent to that woman outside the territory of Israel. Or during the time of Elisha, there were like several lepers and everything in Israel, and only Naaman, the Syrian general, got healed. That was his explanation from the Old Testament. So what is honor? Honor comes from the Greek word timi. It means of value, weighty, like gold. Okay. For us to understand this more, let's go to the antonym, which is dishonor, which is atimi. It is to treat as common. You know, it's just like ordinary. So, we can see that even with Jesus himself, when he was treated as common, the people did not get the full reward. Okay, maybe some of you are talking with me with your mind right now, like in your thoughts, like, well, this is Canada and everything. Another thing that I remember from Bill Johnson, he said, or this is Chris Vallotton, you know, we're not supposed to reflect the culture. Yes, this is the culture of where we live right now, but we are supposed to transform that culture. Twitter. You know, I follow them on Twitter. He said, like, we are not supposed to reflect the culture, but we are supposed to be what the culture wants to be. And I believe the culture in North America wants to be a culture of honor. Amen? But it starts in us. It starts in us. Okay, let's go to Jesus' life. Further. Okay, let's see a scenario where they would not only withheld honor, but there was no honor. There was actually a dishonor. In Luke 5, verse 17. Okay. Now it happened. This is about Jesus healing the paralytic. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man on a paralyzed whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And we know the story. Okay? Then Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, "Who is he who speaks blasphemies?" Okay? This is exciting. On 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Okay. According to 21, it says, like, they began to reason, saying, But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house." Okay. Let's catch something here. Okay, this is a situation where he was dishonored. Okay, there was reasoning around. And yet, according to verse 22, it says here, Jesus perceived their thoughts. It was not even spoken out. It was not even to your face. It's just on the thought. Not even on an action. Just a thought. What happened? These people did not get any reward. Why? We can see at verse 17 when we read, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, to heal everyone. And yet, who was the only one who got healed? The guy brought in by his friends, the paralytic. Everyone else, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, they're so sad. They never got healed. Even though the power of God, okay, we're talking about Jesus here. Not just an ordinary guy. We're talking about the guy, you know, carrying Holy Spirit with him, the full power of the Holy Spirit. Like, if you feel in, you know, in our meetings that you're shaking and everything, if the Bible says that the power of God is there to heal, it means the power of God is really there to heal. And yet, in their thoughts, they were judging him. In their thoughts, they were dishonoring him. And none of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or anyone in that house, except for the paralytic, got healed. Are we getting this? Okay? Bear with me. Now let's look at a full reward scenario. In Matthew chapter 8. Okay. There's this story about the centurion whose servant was sick. Then the centurion approached Jesus. Okay, this is a story about faith, but I believe it's also a story about honor. Then Jesus said, "Okay, I'm coming to your house." Then centurion said, "No. I know you're a person of authority. If I tell my soldiers to do this and do that, they will do it. Okay, just say your word and my servant will be healed." And then Jesus marveled. He said, "I have not found anyone in Israel of such faith." So for us to put this in proper context, it's like this. Jesus is just a lowly carpenter. Okay? He's like, there are still carpenters today, right? It's just like your regular office worker or your regular guy, you know? And here is a person of stature. They're actually the conquerors back then, the Romans. Centurion, what does it mean? He is in charge of more than 100 men. Okay? So, it also means in Roman society that he has a standing. You cannot just be a centurion if you're coming from the slaves. Like, you have to be rich, you have to buy your things and everything, and you have to pay parts of that army. And he's also educated. He came to this guy, Jesus, our guy, and said, "Hey, if you just release your word, you know, I'm a person of authority." It's like the mayor of Toronto. Could be that situation. Or one of his vices. Coming to you, you know, just a lowly guy doing your business and everything. And saying, "If you say this, it will happen." So, what's happening here? Then he got his full reward. Okay. Again, why I'm sharing this? My purpose of sharing this is so that the things that you guys have heard that the Lord has done through us, you know, I was always wondering, how can we multiply these things? A few days ago, I was speaking with my daughter, and she asked me, like, what is my second name? I told her, your second name is Faith. Then what is faith? Then Daddy defined it theologically with faith is the substance of things, you know, not seen, and, you know, those things, right? Then it began to hit me. It's like, wow, that is faith. Things hoped for, things not seen, and yet it is the evidence. Then, wow, that is faith. Then I said to myself, that's one of my gifts. Do you know faith is a gift? Faith is a gift. Then I realized, Lord, how do I activate this faith? I'm not saying this is all in all when you activate the gift of faith. Okay? But if you've heard of our awesome testimonies, if you've heard of, you know, well, actually, let me share to you the testimony while we're going home to the Philippines. Is that cool? 5 weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, no plans at all going home to the Philippines. Then I received a word from the Lord before anyone spoke to me and said, you have to go home to the Philippines. Like, the Lord is going to do something great, you know? I said to the person, you're insulting me. It's an insult. Why? Because I feel like I need to spend $5,000 to $6,000 to bring the whole family to the Philippines. And I need to ask my company for vacation days that do not exist. Because I'm first year on the job. Like, I haven't accumulated enough vacation days for that. And also, like, in my mind, if I get the money, I'm just going to buy a new car. You know? So, like, I felt insulted. And at first, angry with the person. Then as these things were actually, like, you know, Word of God being marinated in you, you're studying it. No one knows you're studying it. You're just listening to tapes. You're listening to stuff. You're reading and everything. Then there goes the application. I was speaking with this guy. I felt like, okay, I should honor him. Then I told him, okay, if you said so, maybe you know something that I don't. I acknowledge you know something that I don't. So I'm going to step out in faith. Then I booked the ticket without any money. Booked the ticket. Oh, by the way, before these things happened, I tried to meet up with this guy because I said, maybe we can just settle this when we meet somewhere in North Carolina. I found out that day that my passport got expired, you know? So, not God's will. Yeah, so I booked the flights and everything. And the Lord, like, was encouraging me. He showed me a picture. He showed me a picture of, like, okay, there's this wall, big wall, as far as the eyes can see. And I was running full speed ahead. Then as I was about to hit the wall, it became like an arch gateway. And like it opened up, literally. I said, okay, Lord, I will act on that word. Okay? Then book the tickets, ask for vacation. Lo and behold, the vacation got approved. For me, that's a miracle. Okay? But the money, that is crazy. It's like, I booked the tickets and everything. And like, of course, this is like, for me, it's like dummy booking. It's not going to happen. Maybe I was doubting. But then I said, Lord, I know if this is your will, I will not even go into debt for this. Okay. Then we receive an email from the company. Our company. My wife and I work at the same company. And they said, the bonus will be released 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. Usually, the company bonus is released on May or February, not on October, and not one day before the ticket expires. Then it hit me, like, wow, the guy really knew something I don't know. He knows something about God. And also, I realized, like, this is the way miracles have come into my life. This is how I trigger those miracles that you've heard for several times. You know? Just to refresh on your memory. My first car was given to me because I honored someone. Most probably you don't know. But my second car also has a very exciting story to it. When Jay and Vero were first proclaimed as pastors of TACF Midtown, God gave me a word. The word was IPO. You know what IPO means? Initial public offering in stock market. When you buy before everyone else buys, you know? So I gave them an offering. And then the Lord was putting something in their heart already. Like, okay. But for me, it's an IPO. I was sowing for a van. Then they said, God also placed us in their hearts. And around the time, they don't have money. When they opened their Bible, they saw $200. They don't know where it came from, but that was the exact money I needed for that car. Like all these things, even the $4,000, $5,000 watch was triggered by honor. I realized like, wow, it does work, you know? It does work. Why am I sharing this? Because I believe there's much more for each one of us if we adopt this culture of honor. And I'm not talking about just honoring leaders and everything. I'm talking about a culture of honor. You know, when I first came to North America, what I realized is like, oh, this is cool. I can call my boss, not boss, but first name basis and everything, which is quite cool, liberating and everything. You know, there's no hierarchy and those stuff. But at the same time, I realized that in other cultures where honor is, I'm not saying at all that we go back to those kind of things. Like I cannot go back myself, you know. But if we get, you know, that spirit of honor from other cultures, I was speaking with Amanda and told her, I had a friend who actually went to South Korea and the honor they received there, this is a country with 40% Christianity and still in a state of revival. The honor there is like they feed you with the sushi. If you don't like sushi, then they feed you with something else. With their hands. And you thought that this is like just an ordinary boy out of college. No, this is like an heir to a $1 billion company. Without even them telling you. But they're driving you around and everything. That's why in South Korea, all the boys want to be pastors when they grow up. Because they get a Mercedes-Benz and they get such honor and those stuff. Like it's such an honorable profession. Here, everyone wants to be a lawyer or a doctor, I guess. Right? So, for example, in Colombia, I've been to Colombia. There's this pastor, like when he was ordained, well, their standard there is like 500 cells before they ordain you. They gave him like an Armani suit. You know? It was like an Armani suit. Like they gave him a car and everything when he became a pastor. And of course, all the boys there, and even like in the kids' ministry, like everyone wants to be a pastor. That's how you change a nation. Well, at least the start for them. Remember, this is a nation in a state of war. We don't need to be in that state of war, but we can change the state of our heart. You know. So, what am I trying to say? Again, the church is not supposed to reflect the culture. That might be our culture. But God wants us to reflect kingdom culture to bring heaven on earth. Okay. What I'm sharing right now might trigger some questions or might trigger something that, you know, okay, I'll study this more and everything. And that is good. But what I'm releasing to you right now is a key to a breakthrough. A key actually that I realize that operates in my life, in my gift of faith. You see, it's a gift. But at the same time, every one of us can have it because we have the same giver. And today, what I would like each one of us, you know, to take home from this is if we give honor to the Lord, you know, then we receive the full reward. If we withheld honor, then no reward. If or partial reward. And if we dishonor, then there's no reward. I would like to end with this. How do we honor God? I know there's a lot of things in Scripture about honor. We honor our parents. We honor everyone. But how do we honor God? According to Jesus in Luke 13:35, you know, and that would be my last verse. In Luke 13:35, Jesus is saying actually like, "See, your house is left to you desolate and assuredly. I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" It's quite a tricky scripture to me before. But then I realized, like, here's what it means. Jesus was saying, "I'm going away. Okay? I'm going away. My earthly ministry is done. And you won't see me again until you honor the ones I send you." Until you honor the ones I sent you. And on a sad note, I would like to say that, on behalf of the church, Jay and Vero, we would like to ask for forgiveness. Vero's back gave way this morning because of doing this stuff while everyone else is not here. Like setting up, her back gave in. And I believe this is where it starts. You know, this is where it starts when we honor the man of God. This is where it starts when we consider them not just friends. You know, we're buddies and everything, but they're also God's agent of blessing to our lives. If we can do that a little more, you know, as you honor your cell leader, as you honor your pastor, whatever you do to the least of these, Jesus said. There's also a verse that's saying like, if you give to a prophet a drink, you receive a prophet's reward. If you honor a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. If you honor the little ones, you know, give a drink to these little ones, you receive a reward, you know. But today we're talking about honoring the prophet and honoring our pastors. I believe this is key to our church and key to North America. When we can say that those miracles are no longer just restricted in Africa or Asia. I long for that day where we can say, you know, that, "Lord, we want it here. Same things, or even more. You're not restricted by geography. But it starts in our heart." Okay, we can dishonor with our mind. We can also honor with our mind, with our thoughts, with our lips, with our actions. But it starts in the heart. This is a key to most of us. So that when we come to a meeting, it's not just a headache. It's not just some bad back and whatever. But like the power of God will just break out. I believe it is a key. I would like to call Jane Vero, please. They don't know anything about this, okay? They don't know anything about this. Oh. In the following days, the following weeks, you will receive something. Okay? Like we'll pray for the sick and everything. Maybe we'll pray later. But our time is almost up. But I believe as a congregation, you know, for me, like when I heard Vero's back gave in today, then I said, "Okay, Lord, that message was not just for you guys, but it's even for me and for us as a congregation." Like, we're praying for revival. But this is key. Do we want to be Nazareth? Talking about changing the city. Do we want to be Nazareth or do we want to be Capernaum or we want to be like Antioch? You know? It all boils down to this. Can we stand, please? I know the picture that the Lord showed me is like after that breakthrough, passing through that wall, you know, when someone has a breakthrough, other people come with it. Like they follow. When Moses opened the Red Sea, eventually everyone followed. I believe today the Lord is opening something up. Okay? I believe the Lord today wants breakthroughs in lives of people. We have to do something. We have to do something. You see, in the Bible, there's only one verse where it was said, double honor was due. Okay, those who keep watch over your souls. It was not given to the emperor. It was not given to the high priest. But those who watch over your souls. That's what Paul said in Hebrews. Yeah. Let's pray. I want us as a congregation to bless our pastors today. Okay. Let's do this a little differently. If you guys can just come over and, you know, if you want to lay hands. If you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. But if you're comfortable with that, just come over. Let's begin honor with our thoughts. Now release a prayer of blessing. Their ministry, their family life, their love life.
You're the God of the city. You're the king of these people.
Yeah, just continue releasing.
You're the Lord of this nation.
Releasing words right now.
You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless.
Ho!
You are.
Ha!
There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Daddy, as a church, we repent.
Greater
we repent for withholding honor.
Greater things are still to be done in this city. Things are yet to come. Greater things are still to
Daddy.
Be done in this city.
Lord, bless this couple. Bless our leaders. Bless our pastors, oh God. Lord, we pray, Lord, even in our minds right now, let there be a transformation, oh God. Lord, let there be a transformation. That we esteem them high because of the office and because of the great work you have laid in their hearts. because of you, Daddy. Lord. God. Forgiveness, oh God, and we receive forgiveness from you, Daddy, and we receive the key to the breakthrough, not just of our family, not just of ourselves, not just of our congregation, to the breakthrough not just of our city, but to the breakthrough of our nation. I would say this congregation, I would like you to express how you honor this couple. I would like you to express. I'll go straight to the point. Okay? There might not be no tax refund. As they give, according to Paul, those who sow into our souls.